Good morning. This is Becky Speed, the Christian Direct Seller and Direct Sales Specialist, and I'm really excited to be here with you this morning. Today we're going to be talking about don't let small things keep you from doing something big. So don't let something small keep you from doing something big. God has great big things planned for you. He tells us in Jeremiah 29:11 that he's created us with a hope and a future, and that he had that in mind before he even created us. He tells us in Ephesians 3:20 that he wants to work in and through us to give us and do more for us and through us than we could ever ask, think, dream, or imagine. And you guys know that I love that verse. It is one of the verses that I cling to on a daily basis because I can dream big and I can think big, and boy, do I pray for some pretty big things. And we see those prayer requests answered all the time. I'm so excited that you're either here listening to this live or you're listening to the recording because God has a very special plan for you today. Today we're going to be talking from a couple of different passages. I've got one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it's 2 Kings 5:1-15. Now, I'm going to read it pretty quick because I want you to get the whole story here, and I want to make sure that I keep it as accurate as possible. But there was this guy called Naaman. He was the commander of the army of the king of Syria, and he was a great man with his master, accepted and acceptable because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now, back then, if you were a leper, you were, like, excommunicated. You couldn't even be in the city. You couldn't be by anybody because it was just so incredibly contagious. I mean, it's still that contagious now, but we've been able to do some different things health-wise. But what happens is it's a skin disease, and you can lose appendages. I mean, it just basically eats you right up. The Syrians had gone out in bands and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel. And there was a little maid, a little girl, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, the woman that she was serving, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would for sure heal him of leprosy." Naaman went in and told his king, and his king said, you know, that this might be a good idea. So the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I'll send a letter to go with you to the king of Israel." And so he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, and it said, "When this letter comes to you, I will with it have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you could cure him of leprosy." So they got a little confused. The details were a little messed up. The girl that was his maid said, "You know, you got to go see the prophet because the prophet will for sure heal you. You're a great man. You've been kind to me." I mean, just even that it mentions that this little girl was in talking with Naaman, who was this big high official in the armies and just won this huge battle. That just proved that Naaman had a soft spot, that he was a kind person, and that, you know, she had great, great favor. I want to just parallel this a little bit to your business because you have great favor. We have great favor with the King of Kings. We have great favor with those that we serve, our hosts and our team members, and we just have to be bold enough to know and stand in confidence that our God can heal whatever's going on, whether it's emotional, physical, anything, okay, spiritual sickness. So let's jump back into the story. So they messed up. They went to the king instead of the prophet. But okay, let's keep going. When the king of Israel read the letter, he rent his clothes and he said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive? That this man sends to me to heal a man of leprosy? Give me a break. Just consider and see how he's seeking a quarrel with me. He just wants a fight here. Who is this guy? You know, this isn't even funny. He's kind of like overreacting." So how many times have we ever been in a situation where we got the details a little screwed up, or we thought we had what God was saying and we messed it up and we did something wrong and we're thinking, you know, what's going on here? Somebody trying to mess with me? But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he sent to the king and he said, "Why have you tore up your clothes? Let Naaman come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots, and he stopped by Elisha's door. So here he's coming in all this pomp and circumstance. He's got all these great gifts he's going to be bringing him, lots of money. Elisha sent his messenger up to him, up to Naaman, and he said, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and then your flesh will be restored, and you'll be clean." But Naaman was really mad. He got angry, and he went away. He huffed away, and he said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord and wave his hand over the this place, and he would heal this leper." Now, how many times do we do that? God tells us something simple to do. Pick up the phone. Call her. Hey, talk to her. I know that she's just sitting on the bench watching the baseball game with you, but talk to her. And how many times do we say, "But God, I need a lightning bolt to tell me the magnificent plan for my life and my business. I need pomp. I need circumstance. I need it to be extraordinary. Don't you know who I am?" We expect from our own pride sometimes that people know who we are and they serve us in the right way. Is that really? Does it have to really be that way? And who are we that we don't allow God to work in the small ways? He tells us that he's a still small voice speaking to us sometimes. It's not going to be this big, extravagant, grand experience. Sometimes he just says, "Hey, go down and get in the dirty water. Dip in 7 times. You're going to be good as new." So anyways, he was irritated. He went away. He was having an attitude. And then his servants came near and said to him, "My father, if the prophet had bid you to do something great, to do something really hard, would you have done it?" Well, of course he would, because he was a man of pride and valor, right? "How much rather then when he says for you just to go wash and be clean?" Then what Naaman did is he went down and he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, as the man of God had said, and his flesh was restored like that of a little child, and he was clean. Then Naaman returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and he stood before him and he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So now accept a gift from your servant." So sometimes, when I was reading this, I thought sometimes, you know, what happens is we look and we expect God to do this big, humongous, outlandish miracle and expects us to do the big, hard thing. Like, you know, maybe for some of us, we think, "Oh, if I would have the favor of God, if I was just a missionary to Uganda, or I just did something super hard," and God's just saying, "Hey, man, just do something little here. All I'm asking is just for a little something here. That's all I need you to do right now, and you're going to get a big response. You're going to open up the door. You're going to get the things that I've purposed for you, and it's not going to be hard. It's going to be easy." I think sometimes as Christians, we expect that God wants us to be poor and that everything's got to be really hard, and it doesn't. We have to trust and we have to obey. Because what would have happened, honestly, if Naaman would have went to Elisha? Elisha came out and he gave him all these gifts when he first met him, because that was the custom of the day. And he'd give him all these gifts, and then, you know, Elisha did, you know, something big, huge, and miraculous, and then all of a sudden he was healed. Because God can heal however he wants. God can work however he wants. What would have happened was that Naaman would have not got to the place of where he was truly humble. And he would have thought that it had something to do with the fact that he had bought his healing or given the gifts in his healing. And his pride would have still been intact. God sometimes wants to teach us humility. And that it doesn't have to be a big ordeal. So if you're facing some issues in your life, I mean, this was pretty devastating for Naaman. He was going to have to be set aside where he couldn't see anyone else, not even his family members. He was going to have to just be a beggar, be dirt poor, and live out the rest of his life watching his flesh and his body just fall off and decay. He wanted to still be a servant. He still wanted to still be that man of valor, that commander of the Syrian army, that big war hero. Maybe you've done some spiritual war. Maybe you're a little beat up. And God's just saying, you know what, just follow me and do what I tell you to do. Trust me and obey me. Naaman never would have come and said, there is no other God in all the earth but in Israel. We also have to look at this from Elisha's perspective. I'm sure Elisha would have just as soon went out and said, hey, okay, be well and go your way. Give me the money. Give me the clothes. I'm happy. Now we're all good. But he was obedient. He was in prayer. He was listening to what God said, and he was very wise. He did it exactly how God told him to do it. Now, sometimes we get ahead of God, and we want to do things our own way, right? And then what happens from that? From personal experience, I can tell you, it's a big mess. I'm going to take you over to another story, and this one's in Luke 19. And God works in unusual ways. Just trust your inner knowing in your gut, in your spiritual DNA, that intuition that comes from the Holy Spirit. And Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it, and there was a man called Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. I mean, he was the worst dude in the land. Everybody hated him the most, and he was a thief. He was also very rich because he had stolen from all of the people there. He was trying to see Jesus, which one he was, and he couldn't because there was such a big crowd because he was so short. He was short in stature. So if you think, boy, I'm not enough, I'm not tall enough, I'm not old enough, I'm not young enough, I'm not rich enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm not weak enough, I'm not prideful enough, I'm not without pride, I'm not humble enough. If you say that you're all these things, just that's baloney. That's a distraction and being deceived by the enemy. But anyways, here he is. He's small in nature. So he ran on ahead. He climbed up in a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus reached the place, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I'm going to stay at your house today. For he hurried and he came down and he received and he welcomed him joyfully. And when the people saw it, they all muttered among themselves and indignantly complained. He's gone in to be the guest and lodge with a man who is devoted to sin and preeminently a huge sinner. That's all he does. So then Zacchaeus stood up and solemnly declared to the Lord, see, Lord, the half of my goods I now give by way of restoration to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I now restore four times as much. And God said to him, today is salvation. Come to all the members of this household, since Zacchaeus too is a real spiritual son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. So if you're in a place where you're in with a lot of sin, or maybe you've walked away, or maybe you're backslidden, I'm not really sure. But what he did is Zacchaeus did something. And he just moved ahead. He thought, you know what? I need to do something small. I need to do what's required so I can see Jesus. Was it a big ordeal? No, I mean, he really probably had the authority and had enough policemen and that kind of thing where he could influence, where he could have said, you know what? Clear the path. This is Zacchaeus. I'm going to fine you double on your taxes if you don't clear the way and let me get to Jesus. He listened to what made sense in his mind and in his heart. He thought, you know what? I'm short. I want to see him. I'm going to climb a tree. Is that a big ordeal? No, he just climbed a tree. Sometimes we think we have to have things be so big and so grand. But what did Jesus do? He said, hey, he put in the extra effort to see me. Hey, Zacchaeus, come on. I'm going to go visit with you for a little while. And even though, I think this is a big component that a lot of people miss in the story. Even though all the people complain, oh my gosh, I'm righteous. I wasn't a sinner. Look, I don't even sin. I'm paid up in my taxes. I do what's right before God. I go to church every single week. I pay my tithes. I pay my offering. And look, Jesus was going to spend time with that sinner. I can't believe it. And they started complaining. Is one sin greater than another in the sight of God? No, sin's sin. And how funny that what happens is despite their bad attitudes, what does it say here? That Zacchaeus told the Lord, and he solemnly declared to them, he said, half of what I have now, I'm going to give away just to the poor. And anybody else that I've cheated, which is everybody else outside, okay? He says, I'm going to restore back to them four times as much. He's going to bless them. Those people, even the ones that were complaining, are going to get back four times what was taken from them because Zacchaeus spent time with Jesus. So if you need things restored, I want you to first off check your attitude. I want you to repent and ask forgiveness of your attitude and issues of your attitude. I want you to accept that restoration and that gift that God's going to be giving you four times greater than anything that's been taken from you. And remember that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. If it's you or if it's a loved one, hold on to that promise. And know that sometimes God works in little ways as well as big ways. And it doesn't have to be big and extravagant. And there doesn't have to be pomp. And there doesn't have to be circumstance. But there does need to be faith. There needs to be trust. And if God's telling you to do something, even if it doesn't make sense, like it's talking about going and getting in some dirty, muddy water. I mean, I'm sure Naaman was thinking in his mind, you know what? Where we live in Syria, we've got nice, beautiful, clean, clear rivers. We don't have to get into their Jordan River, which is dirty and mucky and kind of icky. But he was obedient. And listen to the people that are with you, especially in our direct selling teams. Even though we're the leader, a lot of us are leader of leaders, and that should be our ultimate goal. But tap into the wisdom of those that are underneath you in your downline or your success team, as well as to those above. We're supposed to be 360-degree leaders. Listen to what they're saying to you. There might be a shred of truth in it, and it could be life-changing for you. It could be that you don't understand why you'd have to go get into that dirty Jordan River, let alone dunk in there seven times. But you just might come out clean, whole, restored. You might not understand why you can't see Jesus in your circumstances right now. The crowd's too thick. Too tall. Seems like it's too much of a task for you. Look for your tree. Go climb your tree. Trust your intuition. Do that small thing that God's called you to do. Pick up the phone. Talk to your neighbor. Host your own party in your home. Create an experience. Pray for your host. Offer salvation to your customer. Be the leader that leads your team in a new direction with hope, encouragement, and restoration, believing the best in them, helping to lift your own leadership lid just like Naaman did. Climb your tree. Wait for Jesus. Seek him. He's always seeking. It tells us in the Word that if we ask, he'll give us the answer. If we knock on the door, he's going to open it. If we seek, we're going to find him. He's waiting there for you. Doesn't have to be something big. You may not be asked to go all the way over to Uganda. You may not be asked to travel far. It might just be to smile at your neighbor when you're getting the mail and tell them how much you appreciate them. And you could have things restored to you as well, just like Zacchaeus did, just like Naaman did. Look for the small things so that you can do something big. Well, I hope that this was a blessing to you this morning. Are there any other prayer requests or praise reports this morning? I know some of you are muted. If you want to hit star 6 and come back in. Prayer requests or praise reports this morning? All right, I'm going to go ahead and start in our prayer time together. I will turn off the recording if there's something private you'd like prayed for. Know that that will happen afterwards. Father God, we love you. We thank you. Gosh, we're just so excited. I want to glorify you because, man, you are the God of the magnificent. You do things we cannot even comprehend with our human minds. And yet you're the God of the simple. You're so kind to us. That you don't make things complicated. You've given us a simple business model. You've given us the strength and told us in your word that we can do all things through you because you strengthen us. Lord, we know that we've been called according to your purpose and that we love you. We just want to give you praise and glory for all the good things that you've done. Lord, I just want to pray a blessing over Bev and her grandkids. Lord, I pray that you're just going to keep them safe and keep them well and meet every one of their needs. Lord, I just bless you that you've given us the opportunity for many of us to be parents or children or aunts or daughters, whomever we are. Lord, I thank you for the relationships you've given us. Father, I thank you so much that you are the God of the magnificent and the unbelievable, the miraculous, the supernatural. And Lord, you are the God of today and right now and things simple, that you care enough about our smallest, tiniest needs. Lord, I thank you that you give us people in our lives, like the servant girl to Naaman's wife and his servants, that we can listen to. Lord, that care enough about us that they speak into our lives. Lord, I thank you that even sometimes we've got grumbling people outside. And that, Lord, you tell us that we need to be content and praise you in all circumstances, and sometimes within our teams or within our own families, Lord, we hear grumbling outside. But I thank you that you work in and through us to bless us and to bless others. And Lord, I pray right now, and I ask forgiveness on behalf of those that are listening as well as myself, that if I've hurt someone or taken something from someone that did not belong to me, that you will bring it to my remembrance and that I will be able to restore back to them four times. Lord, I thank you that even just like these people that were living in Jericho with Zacchaeus, that even though sometimes we grumble, that you still bless and restore. Lord, I pray blessing and restoration on every single person that's listening to this and on those that we love and we care about. Lord, I pray that you will be with Pamela, Lord, and her son. They've believed and you've provided in every circumstance. Lord, I pray that you will provide that tuition. I pray that you will give them direction. And Lord, I pray that you will help them to be faithful stewards of their son, even in this interim time. And Lord, that they will see what you're teaching them and that they will continue to be faithful, that they will continue to stand in faith and be joy-filled and move in the direction that you would give them. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with Beth. She's discouraged. Comfort her heart. You know the details of what happened within her team yesterday. You know that she feels disrespected. She feels frustrated. It could even be that she feels just like Naaman did. How dare they not respond to me in the way that I think I should be responded to? Help her to have a servant's heart. Help her to see, Lord. Help to change the dynamics of this relationship so it can be honoring and it can serve you. Lord, help the people that are involved in this to have softened hearts. Lord, I ask that you would help them to see with your eyes, to hear with your ears, and have a circumcised heart. Lord, I pray that you will give her direction on the words to say, and that she'll be led by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that it would be received in the right spirit as she addresses the situation. Lord, I pray that you will bring reconciliation because you tell us that we have a ministry of reconciliation. Father God, I thank you that all we have to do is trust, obey, and believe in faith and receive the gifts that you've given us. Receive your love. And we just offer up ourselves and our sacrifice of praise to praise you with thanksgiving. We love you, Lord. We want to bless you. We want to grow the kingdom in a new and magnificent way. I pray a blessing out upon each and every person. Lord, I pray that you will bless them as they come in and as they go out, that your favor will shine upon them and that your favor will go out before them as they reach out. Lord, help them to act in boldness on the small steps, the small things that seem insignificant, but that can be the thing that leads them to be able to do something big for you, just like Zacchaeus did for his entire city, just like Naaman was able to do and return as the mighty leader that he was created to be. We love you, Father God. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, everybody. I hope you have a great week. Be sure to connect with us on the Facebook page, The Christian Direct Seller, and know that I check there for prayer requests and praise reports. So if the Lord's answered your prayer or this has been a blessing to you, make sure you go over there and post something awesome there. And know that I'm here each and every day, and I check out that, and I'll be praying for your prayer requests. I'm going to turn off the recording, take any prayer requests that were not mentioned earlier, and know that we're going to be continuing to pray for you, and we want to continue to bless you. God's got great things for you. Don't overlook the small things as they pop up this week. God bless you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.